of Revelation, the chapter 11. And we have gone through chapter 11. We have gone through the first 14 verses. And we saw the two witnesses there in chapter 11. First we see God tell him to measure the temple. We see the temple there in chapter 11 in the beginning and the end. The measuring of the temple, the worshippers there, but also to exclude the outer court. Okay, so please be careful. These are all lessons to us, warnings to us that we are not in the outer courts. Don't get stuck in the outer courts because you will not be measured, evaluated there. Only those who are inside. So stay, spiritually speaking, stay in, stay inside. The holy city that will be trampled for, like two numbers are given there. The two witnesses, we saw all that, and the two witnesses, we presume it is either Elijah and Moses or Elijah and Enoch. And there are others also people assume, but it has to be one of these two. That's Elijah is almost certain it is Elijah. Who is the second person? The identity of the second person. Is it Enoch who also was taken alive, or is it Moses? It doesn't matter. What matters is the message, and they have given incredible power that nobody will be able to stop their testimony until they finish it. That anybody tries to harm them, stop them, they have been power to destroy them with fire from heaven. And they have the power to shut up the sky that it doesn't rain. So on top of all the calamities or the judgments that has come, when they judge, when they prophesy, this is God's final chance, I believe, to Israel, the remnant that will get saved. When they finish their testimony, we see the Antichrist, the beast that will come out of the abyss to destroy them, or rather attack, overpower, kill them. The bodies will lie there in that great city called Sodom and Egypt, which is Babylon, or sorry, which is Jerusalem, symbolically there. And the whole world will see them. So we know it is talking about our times, because this could not have happened any time in history except us, because we can see it in our time, like when that attack took last week in that concert in Moscow where so many died. The videos that were shot was available practically in real time. Now think about any time in history when something like this happened. Nobody would have known in the first place. News did not travel to. It couldn't have been visible. But people who were there, who were recording it and put it live stream, and the ISIS who did the attack, they also put their video of it. So we are looking at a time. Like I said, the Bible is for all time, but many things in the Bible is sealed by time. Because as time progresses, remember the prophecy of Daniel 12:4, if I'm right, knowledge will, we don't have to go there, knowledge will increase and men will go back and forth. And what we are seeing is an explosion of knowledge. And the technology that makes things available in split seconds, it reaches over here. So when that verse is there in Revelation chapter 11, that they will see people, peoples, tribes, tongues, and nations will see their dead bodies 3.5 days and not allow their dead bodies to be put into graves. That everybody will see it. We know it is talking about our times. And as time is moving forward, it's only getting better. Technology is only getting better. Unbelievably better technology. So we need to realize that the warning is that we are living in those times. So certain things are written for our times, and we need to be very, very careful. People will gloat. They will give gifts to each other as if Christmas or Diwali has come. But what happens is after 3.5 days, a breath of life from God will enter and they will stand up. And great fear fell upon those who saw them. And then they heard a loud voice from heaven saying, come up here. And they ascended. So another picture of rapture. So when we talk about rapture being a single event, technically it is not right. The first rapture that took place was Enoch. The second one being Elijah. The third one, if you want to call it as rapture or ascension, Jesus himself ascended and everybody saw him. And then we see the church. Then we see the two witnesses. So rapture is not the big one will be a single event, but we will see. Okay, we will see there are stages also. And they went up. And we saw in verse 13 and 14, there was another earthquake and a part of a tenth of the city fell, 7,000 killed, which is a symbolic number or much more than that. And the Bible says the second woe is past. Behold, the third woe is coming. Remember, the angel had cried, woe, 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 the three woes, the third is coming. But now we come to that verse, right? Then the seventh angel sounded. And there were loud voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ. And he shall reign forever and ever and ever. This is the climax, okay? By then, please remember, by then, before this happens, between 14 and 15, though it is just two verses, there is a time gap. By then, the two witnesses have finished their work. And what God had prophesied, it's actually a prophecy in Romans 11, 25 and 26. Right? 25 and 26. I do not desire, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery. There are many mysteries. We saw around 12 mysteries in the Bible, and this is one of it. Lest you should be wise in your own opinion that blindness has in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of Gentiles has come in. Okay. Once the fullness of Gentiles has come in, we will also read in this chapter, the city will be trampled by the Gentiles. So no more Gentiles are going to get saved. Their times are over now. Now it is the Jews who are going to get saved, and that blindness will be lifted. And a remnant of the Jews that are left will all get saved, because all Israel will be saved as it is written. The deliverer will come out of Zion. He will turn away ungodliness from Jacob. Okay, so this is happening between. And then we have verse 15. The seventh angel blows the trumpet, the consummation of everything, the kingdoms, okay, of this world have become the kingdom. Some translation will use the singular, become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. This is the consummation of the promises in the Bible, starting with Genesis 3:15. You know, you shall strike his heel, but you shall crush his head. From there, all the promises of God in the Bible was actually connected to the kingdom of God coming down to earth and taking over. And that has been fulfilled. Okay, that is what we are all waiting for. And I hope you're waiting for it. Okay, that's the most incredible, okay, incredible moment in history. And it is happening very soon. The Messianic kingdom, Messiah himself will step down. Christ will step down. He will take over this world. The visible and the invisible will become one. Okay, because you need to remember, in 6,000 years of human history, God has never directly ruled earth. He's never directly ruled. He has ruled through men in dispensations, some men, some areas, but basically the devil has ruled the earth through men. God personally has never ruled the earth directly. But now he will. Christ will step down, and it says he will begin his reign, and it is forever. Okay. Also, remember, just before this, that period, last three and a half years of the tribulation, Antichrist's reign would reach the peak of his power. That means evil. Mystery Babylon will be revealed. Okay. But the sounding, please remember, when the seventh angel sounded, it is not like me speaking. He sounds for until he finishes his breath. The Bible says during the days of, okay, so it's a period of time, okay, period of time. But it is like, it is during this time when there were voices seven saying, the time of the kingdoms of this world is over. And the kingdom of our Lord and Savior has stepped in. Basically what it means is, you know, those of you who play games like cricket or football or anything, when it comes to the end of the match, okay, end of the, let us say the last over of IPL, okay, a team is trying to chase. But before the last over finishes, the team knows we have lost the game. Like you need 50 runs and you have 6 balls left. You know the maximum you can get is 36. Okay, 36. So though they will bat the next 6 balls, they know the game is already over. Okay, game is, or like football, the final whistle, just 2 minutes or 1 minute, 60 seconds before the final whistle, you know the opposition is leading by 5-0 or something. You know, you can give your best shot, but it is useless. Basically, that's what it say. The power of the Antichrist will reach its peak. Evil will reach its peak, but it is game over. It is, you can do whatever you want to do. It is over for you. The kingdom of God is coming down. The kingdoms of this world is going to become the kingdoms of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Remember, if you go to Matthew chapter 4, verse 8 and 9, what Satan had done. Okay, Satan had done. Now this is the warning to us. The devil took him up on an exceedingly high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of this world and their glory. And he said, all these things I will give you if you will fall down and worship me. This is what was offered to Jesus on that day before he began his ministry. Just fall down, worship me. I will give you this glory of this world. And everything in this, I'll give you. All you have to is fall down and worship. Okay? And Jesus said, away from me, said. If you look at verse 10, he says, you shall worship the Lord thy God and serve him alone. It is written. Okay? Away with you, Satan, for it is your worship. So what was offered by Satan to him? Jesus says, I don't have to do anything that you say. I will go through my Father's way, that is, deny the flesh, reject this world, go through the cross, and one day all that you show will be mine. Okay, and that day and that hour has come. And this is the same thing every child of God has to go through. We do not realize the temptation of the devil in one level or other is to share in the things of this world and its fading glory. He says, you worship me, I'll give you that. And we all need to be able to say like Jesus, I will worship only the Lord my God and serve him alone. And even if I get nothing in this life, it doesn't matter, because I know when the kingdom comes, I will receive everything I need forever in that kingdom. That kingdom mindset, please remember, the whole Bible is about the kingdom. So we have to make our choices too. What he said and what he did was that he's going to come, he came, he died, he rose again, sat on the right hand side of the Father, and now he reigns in the hearts and the minds of his subjects on earth until the last one is saved. And then he will step down. This is what we see in 1 Corinthians 15, 25 and 26. What is he doing now? He must reign till he has put all his enemies under his feet. Then the last enemy that will be destroyed is death, which you see in Revelation chapter 20. Okay? You don't have to go there, okay? So please remember, the question is, he's reigning. But now he's not reigning on earth physically. He's reigning in our minds and our hearts. And our job is to bring every thought, every attitude to the reign of Jesus Christ. Because every thought that is contrary to his word and his spirit is an enemy of Christ. It's his enemy. Those are his enemies. And we have to, like we said about yesterday, if you listened, we have to be brought back to the image and the likeness of God. And then the power and the authority which he gives is to exercise dominion over sin and over Satan. When we do this both, what happens? We bring all enemies under his feet. And he will reign till then. And once that is done and the last believer is in, the last Jew has been saved and got in, the remnant is saved, Christ will step down. And the physical, because then the people and the place become one. Now it is not the place. The world is still under the control of the evil one. The system runs the whole thing. But in that world, there are God's people. And I believe all of us sitting are part of it. But how much is the government of Jesus Christ controlling our minds is the simple thing. And how do you know is this? Okay, how do you know is this? Go to the book of Isaiah. Okay, the Isaiah prophecy about Jesus. Okay, we have to look at it first internally. Isaiah 11, I think. Okay, 1 second. No, Isaiah 9. Go to Isaiah 9. 6 and 7, of which basically 7. Okay, unto us a child, okay? The government will be upon his shoulder. It's talking about the government, the kingdom. If you come to verse 7, it's the key. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. Okay, so the simple thing we need to look at is that, is his government increasing in my life? Okay, how do you know a government, like, you know, like if you look in South India, let's look at our own city. From December to January, February, now we are in March, there was a change in government in this state. We didn't sense anything. Okay, it's as if nothing changed for us. The reason is primarily in the South, we have good governments. Have good governments. So our life is unchanged. We have peace, we have security. I mean, government has to give only basically security and a fair environment. It's our job to work hard and to prosper. That's not the government's job. Okay, don't ever depend upon government for prosperity. That is not the government's job. The government's job is to create an environment where there is fairness and give peace, security, which brings peace. Our job is to work hard and prosper. Okay, but looking in the terms of the kingdom of God, if the government of Jesus Christ is increasing, it will be seen in the peace you experience in your life. There are two kinds of peace. One is connected to circumstances. The other is unrelated to circumstances. Okay, related to circumstances is when you have more money, people have more peace because you are able to control your circumstances. But in the kingdom of God, even if all these props are taken away, the peace is untouched. Because that peace is the government of God. Because the government of God is not dependent upon outside props. So when the government of Jesus Christ, so that is always connected to righteousness. Peace and joy are effects. That is why Jesus says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And the Bible says, this is the kingdom of God. It is not eating and drinking. Because when people eat and drink, they feel great peace and joy. Right? And that's why we like this fellowship part, because there is a lot of peace and joy. Because it's got to eating and drink, meaning it's got to do with fun, pleasure. But the kingdom of God, the Bible says, is not that. It is righteousness. Peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. So we don't have to pursue peace and joy in the kingdom. We pursue righteousness. If you pursue righteousness, the effects of righteousness is peace and joy. And I always will see the most awesome example of this. Two examples in the Bible is one on the cross, Jesus. Peace. Okay, peace. Brings in the midst of it, takes care of his responsibilities. The first, even in the last moments, as a human being, a son, taking care of his mother, and as a preacher, bringing one man into the kingdom, giving him the gospel and getting him into the kingdom of God. You see this environment of peace. And Paul and Silas in the prison. So that is what it is talking about. And this is where we need to be careful about, because the kingdom of God is real. It is not like this world. And we have to be conscious always, am I in the kingdom or am I flitting in and out, in and out, in and out? Like I said, when we were in the world, we were one. Then we came into the kingdom, we split. And we became hypocrites. Okay, when we are in the world, we are like the world. When we come to the church, we become another person. We dress differently. We talk differently. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. How are you, brother, sister? Oh, we put on an act. When you go there, we are almost normal. Most people in the church are very normal in the world because they can be themselves. And then they say they are saved. So that is themselves. And then who is this in the church is the question. Okay, so God says, I understand you. That is your struggle. There are two nations within you. The older shall serve the younger. The older one was the carnal one. That is Esau. Esau, I hate Esau, but I love Jacob. But Jacob has to wrestle with God, get the power, understanding, and become Israel. And then when he becomes Israel, he is no longer afraid about Esau. Okay, and after that, Esau is out of his life. After that, if you see, Jacob will never see Esau again. Esau is out and Jacob will grow and grow and grow and become Israel. And that's our this thing. So, we were one in the world, we split, now we become one in the kingdom. Why is it important? Because the kingdom is coming. The kingdom is coming. And when the kingdom comes, okay, when the kingdom comes, and that is the greatest words in the book of Revelation concerning humanity is Revelation 11:15. The kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and Savior. Okay? So the entire theme, the grand theme of the Bible is about the kingdom of God. Okay? Somebody was asked a question. Explain the Bible in 45 seconds. And his answer was one person, two events. The person is Christ, the first coming, the second coming. That's the entire Bible. One person, two events. His first coming and his second coming. The whole theme of the Bible is there is a king and his kingdom and it is coming. So right now, once we are saved and once we are inside, what we need to, like, you are so gung-ho about, I hope so, about your studies. You should be gung-ho about your studies and studying well because you're looking at the future. Like, there are two things people do and should do when you think about your worldly future is one, like, because we are in the kingdom, like I said, it's very wise to ask God, what do you want me to do? Okay. Until he tells you that, whatever you do, do very well. Be single-minded. Remember yesterday's message? Be said, don't do sloppy. Even if it is cleaning the church office on a Sunday evening, don't do a sloppy job. The reason is because in that day, everything will be evaluated. Because what God is evaluating is our work ethics. Not the work that we necessarily did. Our work ethics. Because in eternity we are going to work forever. And he cannot give responsibilities to people who do not have work ethics. You cannot do sloppy jobs. Because the kingdom of God is the kingdom of God's glory. And in God's glory, you cannot have sloppy workers. So that is why it is not what you do that actually matters in the beginning. How you do it is, so if you look at Joseph, the main person in the Bible connected with this teaching, when he is a slave with no salary, the way he did his job, his master got his eye. This is an excellent worker. He has got work ethics. So he was promoted. It's this type of, God has to promote us in eternity, whatever we do. Whatever we do, be single-minded. I will tell you the issue with people, okay? Because I've been in the secular and in the kingdom work for years. What I have noticed with people is this. They are not single-minded. When they go to work in their office, they take their problems of their home there. And when they come home, they bring the problems of the office here. So there also they are a lousy worker. At home also they are a lousy worker because your mind is split. Okay, mind is split. If Joseph was thinking about all the terrible things that happened to him, he would have been a lousy worker in Potiphar's house. Okay, you have to be single-minded. Like, now you are here, forget everything, focus on the word. Good. That's why you came here. That's the reason you're here. Why are you here? Oh, the pastor knows today is a holiday. If I don't come, he will ask Sammy, where are the girls? If that is the reason you came here, then you won't listen to anything. But if the reason you came here, today is a holiday, thank you, Lord, today is a holiday. I have time. There's a meeting in the morning. I'm going for the meeting and I'm going to be focused. I'm going to, even if I didn't listen last Friday and Monday, I have finished. I didn't listen. Yet I know if I listen, I will still receive something about the kingdom. And I'm not going to focus on that and not what has happened before or what is going to happen later. This is what is single-minded. And in the kingdom, God is looking for single-minded people, not divided. Remember the call of Elijah, the call of Elisha. The mantle fell upon him. He understood. He says, can I go kiss my father? And he says, what I got to do with you? You're already double-minded. You're already trying to do this thing, he says. Then he burnt everything and followed Elijah all the way of his life. Never looked back. So God is talking about being single-minded about the kingdom, because the kingdom is coming. And when this event happens, everything about our this life becomes irrelevant. Your who your father was, who your mother was, who your husband was, who your children was, who your all are irrelevant. The only thing that matters is, what is the king going to tell you? Because your father is no longer your father. Your mother is no longer your mother. Your brother is no longer your brother. Your husband is no longer your husband. Your wife is no longer your husband. All human relationships have ceased. We have just become the brethren. All our brethren. And what is going to really matter is genuine relationships going to be formed over there and not here. When you realize even the ones who were so closest to you may not be close over there, because you realize their heart and your heart and it was not genuine. Genuine relationships are going to be formed over there. Okay, so everything here is temporal. That is why you have this term passing away. So God says, don't put your mind on things that are passing away. Focus, be single-minded. And because that kingdom is coming, and when that kingdom comes, please remember, it is forever. He shall reign forever. Okay, this is not an allegorical or a metaphorical kingdom. Okay, or creating a kingdom like conditions. This is a real king and a real kingdom. No more elections. 4 years, 5 years, all that is over. It is no more waiting for the death of a king. One queen died and her son was so old, finally he became king. Now the whole family, he's also been diagnosed with cancer, going through treatment. His daughter Elocate, Princess Catherine, that's what her name, no? Kate Winslet, but what is her other name? Duchess of Wellington, I think. Yeah, she's 42 years old. She's also going through chemo. So kings also fall sick and die before their time. But this is a king who will be forever and ever and ever. Get used to that term, forever. You don't understand that word ever. Understand that forever. 393 times in the Bible the term forever is used. And 47 times that it is used forever and ever. Meaning, it's not going to end. So get used to things that is not going to end. And be prepared for that. Okay? This is the reality which gives us the urge to obey those commands. Be faithful even unto death. The command, endure, persevere, be patient, never give up, never quit. Because why? Everything in this world is temporal, forever is coming. Be prepared forever. Because in this life, the temptation always is to choose between the forever kingdom, invisible, and the visible temporal world which looks so, so real. Okay? To live by faith or to live by sight. And those who live by faith look like fools in this world. And those who live by sight look like smart and wise ones. But on that day when the seventh angel sounds, all those who lived by faith will be the one who will be exalted. Okay? So on that day, what Jesus said in Luke 12 and verse 32. Luke 12 and verse 32. Do not fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. And when it came there, it became a little flock, not those who entered, to whom it is given the kingdom. Here it is talking about authority and power to rule with him. Compared to the large flock that will be there, the one who will inherit the kingdom will be few. comparative. There will be millions of kings, but it will be few. So when you are running your race, run to win. Don't be, go run to get that certificate called certificate of participation. No? It's pointless. If you go for any interview and you show I participated, they'll put that certificate away. So what is it? Everybody participated. Okay? And then when you come to verse 16 onwards in Revelation 11, the response to that announcements in heaven, once this announcement in verse 15 is made, the 24 elders who sat before God on their thrones fell on their faces and worshipped God, saying, "We give you thanks, O God, God Almighty, the one who is and who was and who is to come, because you have taken your great power and reigned." Who are these 24 elders, right? We see them in chapter 5, in 7, 11, and later in 19 also. We are not sure. But one thing almost everybody says is, these are definitely not angels. These are not definitely not angels. And if you read the Bible, you will not see anywhere angels sitting on a throne. So the presumption is, these 24 elders represent two dispensations, Old Testament and New Testaments. And 12 from each dispensation, these are the top guys who graduated from the Old Testament and the New Testament. 12 representing all of humanity from two testaments. Okay, the one who topped in their class, aced in their class, these are the 24 elders. Now we do not know. I'm presuming nobody knows who these are. Okay, we are not sure. And what do? They fell on their faces and they worshipped God. Okay, and what do they say? "We give you thanks, O Lord God Almighty." Lord God Almighty, the one who is absolutely, absolutely in charge. So you will see, if you've been following or if you read the book of Revelation, you will see often what you say, worship service there going on, celebration, worship, praise. And it is always also a thanksgiving service. Okay, heaven is showing us the way. Okay, what are they saying? "We give you thanks, O Lord God Almighty, the one who is, who was, and is to be." If you turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 16 to 18. "Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing in everything." So, in these three verses, always, without ceasing, everything. What God brings to us who are living in time is the concept about forever, eternity. Are you getting it? He says, when you are living on earth now, my children, live as if you are living in the kingdom. Because in the kingdom, there is joy forever. Forever. Okay. And they can converse with God without ceasing. Nobody will be out of breath, because you don't need breath to talk there. Okay. And everyone is always thanking God for everything there. So he says, why don't you live this life out of here on earth in faith and see how the kingdom impacts your life? We have to understand the kingdom. Like I said yesterday in the church, talking to the families, even to you. Like we have four of you from GSS, four girls sitting over here. If two of you can agree, you have your own besties, as you call them, okay, fine. But if two of you can agree on anything, it will be done. If it's in the will of God, it will be done. We have these promises, but we still, you will share the same bunk bed and still will not pray together. Will not come to the things of God, okay, things of God. And that is what Jesus was trying to teach us through his life on earth. He says, I understood the will of my Father. I am here absolutely determined to do the will of my Father. And to finish the will of my Father, all the power I need, all the provision I need, all the protection I need is provided. I have set a template for you to live. It's as simple as that. And before that, nothing can happen. Everything is taken care of. And that's what God is talking about out here. He says, live that life before. By faith, live. Rejoice always. Rejoice always. Okay. Because what is the worst thing that can happen to you? Death. After that what? You're still alive. If the worst thing the devil can do to you is death, Jesus says, what are you afraid of? Do you remember what I said? The key to death and Hades is in my hands. Not in his hands. I hold it. Okay. So he says, rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks. Why? Because this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. We are talking about, not thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Father, what do you want me to do? Please reveal. God says, why don't you do the things which is already revealed? Then I will reveal you things which is not revealed. First, learn to rejoice always. No? Learn to pray for anything and everything. And to thank God. Even if you fall down, thank God. Thank you, Lord, I fell down and I didn't break my leg. Thank you, Lord, I broke my leg, but I didn't broke in three pieces, only in one piece. For everything you can always thank God. Because if you, it's like the boy who said, I complained, I did not have shoes until I saw the boy who did not have feet. Right? And Pranit was sharing the testimony. I know that person he's talking about. I've seen him every time. Nice person. I really like that young man who had lost his arm. He worked for the electricity department with this thing. He lost his arm. But with those stubs, he will still lift up and thank and praise God. Okay? So you look at him and say, if he can praise God, what's so difficult for me to praise God? So God says, give thanks. This is the will of God. Okay? Your sanctification, this is the will of God. So we know the will of God that is revealed. When we do that consistently and it becomes our life, God will start revealing His specific will for each one. Like I said, God has not created anything without purpose. Let me ask you this question. What is this? What is the purpose of this watch? Show time. If the watch stops, if I keep on wearing it, then I am fooling myself and fooling you, right? Why? Because this was created to show time. Okay, so that is the purpose. So in the same way, if a man has not created anything without a purpose, where did he get it from? He got it from his maker. So everybody sitting here is being created with a purpose. And the day you discover is the day you are free. But to discover it, you have to do the things which first what is revealed. It's a very simple thing, thanking God. Just rejoice. And when people are happy, what do they do? Don't say they share and eat laddus. They sing. Okay, in India we eat laddus. Okay, but that's not. We sing. So God says, sing. Keep singing. Keep singing. Because that is usually singing. Sorrow and joy usually is reflected in song. So sorrow is called dirges. We have sorrowful song. Dil toot gaya, hazar tukda ho gaya. And that is also spoken. The tone changes. The music, the violin and the veena comes out. Okay. But when you are happy, the guitar comes out. So music goes into joy or sorrow. So God says, sing. Sing and pray without ceasing. And everything, this is the will of God. Because we are talking about the kingdom. And what happens in the kingdom is the will of the king. And if you and I are true subjects of the king, we understand the will of the king and we are trying to obey it. Why I'm telling you this is, once you understand the power of the kingdom, the power of the kingdom, okay, the manifestation of the power of the kingdom is peace. The Bible says the peace of God shall guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And I will tell you, what everybody is looking for is peace. Is peace. And God says, I can give it to you because my kingdom is that. So that's basically what is happening over here. Okay? So, everything. So in Revelation 11, verse 17 and 18, you do this by faith, what has happened? We give you thanks, O Lord God Almighty, the one who is, one who was and is to come, because you have taken your great power and reigned. You have taken and it has come. Okay, the nations were angry, your wrath has come, and the time of the dead, that they should be judged, that you should reward your servants, the prophets and the saints, and those who fear your name, small and great, and should destroy all those who... See, the time has come for everything. Everybody is waiting. It's called the day of the Lord. The time has come. Okay, so he says, you by faith rejoice. You by faith give thanks because that time has come. That is when faith will become sight. God in his great power and might is now going to exercise it all. The Bible says in verse 18, the nations were angry, but your wrath has come. Okay, now, which psalm is this? Two. Okay, Sam, you shut your mouth. I'm asking the children. Go to Psalm 2. This is the Psalm. The nations are angry, but it's pointless. Why do nations rage? And the people plot a vain thing. The kings of this earth, remember the kingdoms of this world, that means there are kings of the earth, set themselves. And the rulers take counsel together against the Lord, that is God, and his anointed, that is Christ, saying, let us break their bonds in pieces and cast away their gods from us, their whose gods and his sons. He who sits in the heaven shall laugh. The Lord shall hold them in derision. He shall speak to them in his wrath has come. What was prophesied in Psalm 2, we are seeing it being played out in Revelation 11 onwards. His wrath has come. Okay, his wrath has come. So God, you see, when these kings of this earth, all of them do all these monkey tricks, God sits and laughs. This is... You see, you need to realize, when you tie a dog to a leash, you know, the liberty of the dog is determined by the length of the leash. As far as the leash goes, that far he has liberty. Okay? So, all our liberties, including the liberty of Satan, is determined by the length of the leash God gives. God is the only absolutely true person in the universe. Free person in the universe. All of us think we are free, but because we haven't measured the length of our chain. Okay? So what are the kings of the world saying? Let us break his cords and let us be free. God says, who can break my cord? I have set limits. Okay. The nations say, let us break there. Who is there? The Lord and his anointed. God and his son. Because God rules through his son. Cast away their cords from us. And he who sits in the heaven shall laugh. The Lord shall hold them in derision. He says, why? He shall speak to them in his wrath and distress them in his deep displeasure. Yet I have set my king on my holy hill on Zion. That's what is going to happen from 11 onwards. The culmination you will see in Revelation 19. Jesus will come. It's a very powerful picture of Jesus coming in verse 19. And that time of judgment has come. The time of judgment. Okay, if you turn with me to 2 Timothy 4:1, if I am right, Paul will say, I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing. And see, unless you focus, you will not see the kingdom. You will just read and go. You will realize when his kingdom comes, judgment begins. He will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and at his kingdom. Why he has not appeared yet is because once he appears, the kingdom comes. Okay, we have a lawyer sitting in our midst last Friday also. We said about that, no? When somebody is arrested, sometimes in an emergency, what the lawyer, if he has got clout, will do, he will go to the magistrate. If he's arrested in the evening, courts are shut. What he will do is, he will go to the magistrate's house and try to get a bail. Okay, why? If the magistrate has that kind of power, whether he is at home or whether it is outside in the court, his authority is the same. So if Christ comes, the kingdom comes. The kingdom comes. Christ comes, the kingdom comes. Okay? That's how it works. Christ comes, the kingdom comes. So when he appears, his kingdom comes. When his kingdom comes, he cannot begin his reign before judging. Okay? And who is going to judge? He's going to judge the living and the dead. So if you read, this is consistent themes in the Bible. God's patience is over. Time for repentance or change is over. His wrath has come. It's the day of his great wrath. We are still in the day of grace. Okay. The day of his great wrath. We are still in the day of grace. And soon, the acceptable year of the Lord will be over. I want to look at that, okay? And then we will stop and we will go into prayer. Go to Luke chapter 4, verse 18 and 19. 4:18, 18 and 19. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. This is Jesus' first message. Acceptable year of the Lord. Okay? This is why I am here, he says. His first coming. Now go to the Isaiah prophecy. In Isaiah 61, verse 1 and 2. The same prophecy is what is repeated. He was given the scroll to read, so he opened at Isaiah 61 and he wrote. Now read Isaiah. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord God has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, the opening of the prison to those who are bound. Verse 2, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, and there he stopped. You didn't read the second part. What? The day of the vengeance of our God. That is his second coming. Time is over. Okay, time is up. Between the first half of Isaiah 61:2 to the second half, there is 2000 year period of grace is given. Grace is given. And what we see in Revelation 11 is that is over. The day of his wrath has come. Now it is time to judge. It's over. Everybody who could have gotten, God has gone to the extreme limit. We call it the stick and the carrot. You will be given the carrot. You will be given meaning. Come, come, listen to the blessings and healings and deliverance and all. Get in. No, don't. Then he says, okay, I will beat you in. And everybody who will be beaten and we can be gotten in, I will do that. That is the judgment after judgment after judgment. So we need to realize that is how it works. Amen? Yes, now we shall have Peter and we shall pray.
Lord, sing all heavens they declare the glory of the risen Lord. Who can compare? With the beauty of the Lord, forever you will be, forever you will be, the Lamb upon the throne. And gladly bow my worship you alone, forever you will be, Lord, forever you will be, forever you will be, Lord, the Lamb upon the throne, oh, Lord, I gladly bow. Worship you alone. I will proclaim, oh Lord, help us, oh, to proclaim the glory of the risen Lord. is Lord, we gladly bow our knees. Oh, we bow our knees and we worship Him alone, Him alone.
Thank you, Lord. You truly are, Lord, always in control of Father. Lord God Almighty, the one who reigns forever and ever, Lord. We just want to thank you this morning. For you are the resurrection and the life, Lord. We just thank you, we just thank you, we just thank you, Lord. We just thank you, Lord. Whose report shall we believe? We shall believe the report of the Lord, our Master. When people say you are sick, you say you are healed. When man says you are dead, you say you shall live again. That is who you are, O God. We just thank you, we just thank you, we just thank you, we just thank you, Lord. So this morning, once again, we confess, Lord. We proclaim your greatness and your goodness, O Lord. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Let the weak say that they are strong. Let the poor say they are rich because of what the Lord has done. Lord, we just thank you. 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 This morning, we just thank you. Lord, we just thank you. Every person. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord. The blood of Jesus, the blood of Jesus, the blood of Jesus, the blood of Jesus over all your children. The blood, the blood, the blood. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. We rebuke the works of darkness. We rebuke every worker of darkness. Your works will fall to the ground. It will not prevail. For our God is seated on high. And He reigns from everlasting to everlasting, O Lord, even today, Lord. Every situation we commit into Thy hands, O Lord. Every one situation we commit into Thy hands.
Lord.
Reign supreme, Lord. Let your power be manifested in our situations, Lord. Because the kingdom of God is not a matter of talk, it's a matter of power, Lord. We just thank you. Bind the spirit of infirmity, the spirit of fear, the spirit of death. We bind you in the name of Jesus. We command you to leave God's people in the name of Jesus. For the keys of Hades and death is in Jesus' hands. He has not given us the spirit of fear, but love, power, and a sound mind, O Lord. We receive the healing that we need for today, the strength that we need for today, the provision that we need, O Lord, and above all, we pray. Everyone would experience your presence today, Lord. The God who said, I'll be with you to the end of that age. I will never leave you nor forsake you. I pray, Lord, your people will experience your presence today, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Father. Speak your peace, your rest, and your protection and your provision, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Once again, we stand here. We declare, thine is the kingdom.
The power and the glory forever and ever.
Amen.